welcome you to another episode of Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and I am in Sesames, Mississippi. I've got Joe and Joseph McGowan with me, and they are artists in the Golden Triangle area here in Mississippi, and we're going to take some time to talk about their art and also things they do while they're outside of working on art. And so, Joe and Joseph, how's it going today, guys?
I'm doing good. It's a pretty day. I've been outside all day working. Just came in because you're here.
Yeah.
To talk.
Yeah, and just from being on the property, man, beautiful place. Digging the work that's been done out here.
Yeah, part of the art, I think, for both of us is spending time outside and bringing the outside inside and inside outside. Nature is part of everything.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So, Joseph, what's going on, man?
Yeah. Today's a nice Saturday. Started out just walking around outside, playing a little guitar by the pond.
Right.
Yeah.
Joe, to start with you, how did art start for you? How did you get into it, man? What did that look like?
I was born in Maine, actually, my family. We lived there till I was about 10 and a half, 11.
Yeah.
At which point we moved to Mississippi. But I grew up in Maine. I had three younger brothers. My dad was in science. He was an artist, a musician. My whole family on his side of the family was artistic and musical. So I wasn't encouraged to do art as a kid. It just seems to be something that's a drive gene wise. And since I can remember, I've always done some kind of art.
Okay.
Since day one.
All right. And Joseph, Joe's son here. And so, so what did that look like when you first started growing up, or some of them earliest memories? Was it being exposed to what he was doing, or what did that look like for you?
Yeah, I definitely think that growing up out here, participating in art and playing music and kind of curiously looking at nature, I think those all kind of became natural. They all felt like something that everybody does, because that's what was normal when I was growing up.
Yeah. Both have mentioned nature now, and like we're out here definitely in nature, like you said, we just stepped inside to do this. And so with your art, with both of you, whether it's abstract or however you want to put it, nature is definitely something that is, it's a main pull of it. When I see a lot of the work, it's different animals or trees or it's a lot going on, but it's definitely nature. And so is that something that you find is definitely like the basis of the inspiration?
For me, nature is like very important to my art. I mean, it just ties together. And I'm also a scientist. I study insects,
yeah,
especially ants, and I get to see things up close under a microscope. But even before I studied insects, I was looking at nature up close. My dad had a degree, PhD in entomology as well.
Oh, wow.
So I was looking at ants and wasps and things as a little kid under a microscope. But I've always been interested in the interrelationship of everything, how we do things to the planet. Affects everything. Everything's affected by what we do and back and forth, you know. Everything's interconnected. To me, the interconnectivity is a huge part of my art. I love to let it go in my head, all these ideas and thoughts and science and nature and observations, and let it flow out on its own will in a sort of a chaotic way. But it's all connected in some way, you know?
Sure.
Like life. And
yeah. And as we were talking just a little bit before, you're the last of the baby boomer, and me and Joseph are millennials. You're the last of the millennial.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, just what does that look like for you as far as, I guess, nature into your art?
Well, that's a big question, I guess. I think growing up out here and kind of appreciating it from, you know, scientific and artistic points of view definitely had an influence before I ever even had used the internet or anything like that before.
That's true. You know, when Joseph was young, we didn't have a TV for a long time.
Okay.
And growing up for myself, I didn't have a TV. And I was growing up in the Maine woods and on the coast and making do, finding things to entertain myself. And he was the same way. He'd walk around the trails as a little kid playing my bouzouki and making up songs about animals he saw.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we, either one of us, are directly drawn natural scenes, although I do sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the cooler art I do, the more interesting stuff, it's like There's nature in there, but it's different. It's like tangled up from my brain.
Yeah.
In some sure. Yeah.
Strange way.
And the piece in the living room that you were showing me that, what you said, it was over 40 different artists involved in 11 different countries?
We've done some collaborative projects that were massive with other artists, with artists from probably up to 30 countries working on two pieces, 40 plus artists, maybe 50 artists. I'd have to add them up. It's just crazy. From all levels of art.
Yeah.
You know, good, you know, new to art to relatively famous in their genre.
Yeah. And so just entomology, if I can say that right. Entomology.
That's pretty good, yes.
Is that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Like, studying that, and your father was one, and, like, just a little more into that, and I've seen a lot of your posts with ants and studies of that, and even like what it was, the reproductive organ of an ant. Like,
oh, recently, yeah, that was a reproductive structure of a scarab beetle from Brazil. It was a new species. Someone's describing. That's right. When you look under a microscope at things like insects, there is nothing you can create that's weirder than already there in nature. Like fishes, yeah. Man. I love fish.
I think we're both influenced by kind of the overlooked aspects of nature sometimes, too. Like the microscopic things that people don't think about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like seeing that picture that you took of that shot. I was like, good grief.
Like an alien or something.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And with some of the things that I've seen with your art, it was like, I can kind of relate it to like seeing some of those pictures, you know. It's mm-hmm. like, wow, that's mm-hmm. that's in depth.
Mm-hmm.
And so the entomology, like, where does that work take place? Is that just local work here in Mississippi, or like that was a Brazilian beetle?
Well, I work at Mississippi State, and we have a museum. It's a research collection, the Mississippi Entomological Museum, and our focus is southeastern insects, but we also bring in things from other countries, and we trade, and we've had collectors bring things in, or some of us go collect here and there. But to study something even regionally, like Mississippi in the southeast, there's always new things coming in, so we have to be experts of things from all over the world. In some cases, like, I'm an expert with ants.
Yeah.
And to know if something is exotic or if it's a new species, you got to understand the group worldwide in some cases.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's important.
I got you. I mean, just with that, and we'll step back into the art, is just like out of my own curiosity with just over the years, have you seen changes with like just ants and just like, have there been new species introduced over the past few years here in the southeast, or just like interesting finds that you've found over your work?
Yeah, you know, ants, it's one group of insects, obviously, and it's my special group. But in the last, say, 15, 20 years, 20 years ago, I knew of seven exotic ants in Mississippi. Now we have at least 30. So these are newer introductions. It's not just that they're new. A lot of things are coming into our country all the time. We have lots of, you know, trade and what have you, but things are changing with the climate and what have you, and so we're seeing things come in that 20 years ago couldn't exist over the winter. You know, they wouldn't overwinter here, and now they're on our coast, and they're moving up. Not only are they staying in the residence, they're doing better, they're moving, you know. It's amazing. Yeah. So things are changing for them.
Cool.
So changing rapidly, really.
All right, and just coming back here to SESAMS, and just, like, right here in this art studio, and, I mean, we both made mention about, like, before we started here, it's, like, jam-packed and just looking just kind of all over. We got art all over the place, and just between y'all two and working together, and Joseph, as you've gotten older and doing some of your work, what does that kind of look like when y'all collaborate together?
I guess it's probably similarly chaotic, you know. I think we both... The way we work is we start several things at once and are maybe working on several things simultaneously. And we've done that with collaborations before, too, where maybe I painted three things and then he's drawing on top of those things, and then I go back and paint on top of another one while he's doing that, you know. So it's kind of similarly chaotic all over the place, yeah.
Yeah.
One thing about living out here in SESAMS, too, which, you know, being from Maine for a while, when I moved here, it was difficult. We were in a really pretty area of the coast of Maine, you know, And but then I started getting into the natural history of this area in Mississippi and appreciated it more and more. Like Sesame's, out here, we're on top of a piece of Black Belt Prairie, which goes through Mississippi and Alabama. Mm-hmm. So beneath the surface out here of our land, there's a chalk layer, and it's a fossil bed from when Mississippi was underwater, the Cretaceous, 65 plus million years ago. So our lawn is littered with fossils everywhere. It's amazing. And not only that, the soil above that is a remnant from this past prairie that later came about, and we have specialized plants that are here, not in other regions of the world, just through the Black Belt Prairie. And I'm an entomologist, there's insects that are specialized and tied to these plants. Well, I found at least four new species of insects in my yard. Researchers from other countries have collected in our yard. They've flown here from Canada, so that's really cool. We've hosted entomology camp kids here. And so we've had, and on the other hand, we've had artists out painting out in the...
We've had musicians out here playing.
Small festival type things.
Yeah.
So it's the whole, the natural history part is interesting. If you go down in the creek, we found ceramic bits from natives from 1800, 1500 years ago, arrowheads.
Mastodon bone.
and now, so we got these different time periods we can look at and think about in a circular. Now Joseph is doing ceramics and talking about taking bits of fossil bits and putting them in his ceramics. And then we find ceramics where the natives did exactly that. So it's like coming back around.
Yeah, it's just cyclical, right?
And they're using things, they were using this fossil from, millions of years ago, and now here we come again. It's really awesome. Yeah. I find that fantastic.
Yeah, and from both of you, and some of the different things that you do, is just to talk about the things that you paint on, whether it be pottery or whatever kind of canvas that you use, and the pen or the brush or whatever it is that you use. Like, I guess just think of some of your favorites from going by, to talk about like those different canvases that you've used.
Well, I love the idea of, I was hired as an entomologist early on, not as an entomologist. I was hired as an illustrator.
Yeah.
To do scientific drawings. That was the first thing I did there. And my background was art, not science. So that's very straightforward. It's realistic. It has to portray reality. On the other hand, I'd rather draw or paint things that just flow freely out of my mind. I don't think about it at all. It's almost like, I call it my art subconscious meandering. I can be doing and thinking about other things, listening to music, talking, and just letting it come out. I barely think about it, but whatever's in my brain comes out in its own way. Well, and then, of course, the media, which I may or may not use, can affect what I do. I may randomly throw some paint down and move it around and see something. And what I see might be different than what you see because of my background.
And it might be different depending on the media. It's also, if you have some spray paint there and then layer these ink layers on top of it, it might create different shapes to pull from.
So you don't want to be scared to experiment with different media. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like a guitar player. If you were to take a pedal board and if you had a multi-pedal, and you changed all the settings. Every setting you put the pedal on, for some reason, you want to play a different style of music. Yeah. I don't, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
As a musician yourself, I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
And then you go to the next set, and it's like, oh, I got to hammer this.
Yeah, right.
This is Spanish. or whatever. So art's the same way when you let media kind of, if you have an open mind, and let kind of feel the flow of the media. This is sort of interesting. We were talking about circular and time and space, in a sense. When I was a kid, my family, we didn't have a lot of money, so I'd make my own things. Like up in Maine, I would find birch trees and pull the bark off of this white birch. I don't remember. And you could draw on it. It was like a really cool. So, but I would make my own inks out of berries, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like 7 years old, drawing on birch with ink, making my own brushes and pens with reeds and what have you. And ink from berries. Well, I hadn't thought about this till recently, but today my favorite media currently is I work on pieces of birch plywood that I cut and I prime, and then I buy bottled inks from all over the world, and then I apply them and throw them down and draw paint and draw on top of them, whatever. And it's exactly what I was doing as a kid, but it's like, it just came back around, and like, you know, and it's a little more professional, maybe, but it's interesting how that happened.
Yeah, and so, like, Joseph, you're studying at State now. Is art the major?
Yeah, art and creative writing.
Yeah. And so, with your art, and, I mean, we're both from about the same time frame.
Time, yeah.
And so, like, as you were coming up, what was some of your favorite medias to kind of use?
Yeah, I do like to play around with different medias. I use a lot of oil pastels just because I like the roughness of it. But I guess, you know, a generational thing. I do like to experiment with different digital media and take old drawings and manipulate them with Photoshop or Illustrator or something like that.
Just as far as, like, collaborative, and, like, to talk a little bit more about that, and let's just say that you had drawn something out or painted something, Joe comes back and has wrote or, you know, drawn over that. Like, what does that process look like as y'all are going back and forth on something? Like, maybe a piece here in the room that y'all have, like, what, if there's one here that...
Where are those little...
Is that one? No, you did that one, right? Did I work on that one at all? I haven't yet.
I don't think, not that one. I don't know where those little guys are. Those are kind of good examples.
Oh, yeah, they're in a box. I got them in a bin somewhere.
Right, gotcha. But just to kind of bring one of those to mind and just kind of walk through that, is that something like, do y'all talk about it as you go, or is it like you come back and be like, oh, we worked on it today?
Yeah, it's more the latter, I think.
It's not always the same way either. Like,
that's true.
Well, there's a local restaurant, for example, called The Veranda, and we're friends with Jay Yates, one of the owners, chef there, and he asked us to do some art for The Veranda. We did three large pieces, 6 foot long by 3.5 foot paintings. They're in, and like, we did those in different ways. One is a bunch of weird crabs.
I think every one was a different kind of collaborative thing.
Yeah. The methodology was different on each one.
On every one, yeah.
Yeah.
The craziest one was... there's one of vegetables, and and he went under and did the underpainting on that one, especially
with, like, spray paint.
Just made he created the whole flow of the piece, and then I went in and I painted vegetables with that flow.
Yeah,
and you know, you can tell the flow in the color scheme, you know, and I create, you know, and then the other ones, the fish one, I think they're just freaky fish.
Yeah.
We, you know, he did some, I did some. We went back and forth. Like, we used different media, spray paint, acrylic
markers.
Paint.
Markers.
Permanent markers, what have you. And it just changed and evolved back and forth in a different way.
Yeah.
So they're always different. We've done murals together a couple
of them.
Yeah,
the mural was like, you know, we had different drawings and then you put them together in Photoshop and that was the design. And then we just went over there and we're both spray painting back and forth.
It was the last time I was in Memphis. Was hanging out with some of the guys from Star Massey, and just down the street from where one of them stays, it's like they're, and I like that Starkville is doing this with some of their buildings in the Cotton District. It's like they're beginning to put these huge murals on these buildings, whether they're still being used or not. And just having a place for art to be, you know, right in the mind's eye of the public. So have y'all done a lot of that kind of work in the past? Like, maybe it's, like, I guess it used to be called graffiti. I don't know if it's so much true now.
Well, graffiti is often without permission.
Right, yeah.
And whereas, like, you could do the same type of artwork, and if you have permission, and you might even get paid for it.
Right.
So graffiti...
You could be commissioned for that.
Right, yeah. So that's a huge difference between graffiti and, you know, mural art, in a sense, you know, I mean, is whether you have permission. But if you're, you want to, if you're really good at it and you write a grant, you can write a grant or get money from various people. You can get paid to do the same thing. Maybe it takes away the allure of the danger. I don't know. But I mean, we've done a little. Joseph's probably a little more interested in the outsider and that kind of urban art than I am. I'd rather sit in here at night and draw crazy stuff in my studio.
Yeah.
When no one, everybody else is asleep. But there's some appeal to it to me. I love it. Yeah. I love that people are doing it. There's some great murals.
There's definitely, you know, there's some walls around town that look a lot better with some paint on it than they did before.
We have some other opportunities coming up here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just talked to someone about doing part of a place in Amory, a new bar or restaurant. You know, we'll probably do more and more of that in the future.
Yeah.
I suspect. It seems to be more popular lately.
There's a lot more opportunities popping up in the Golden Triangle for it, too, I'd say.
Yeah, and I've really appreciated that. I know just it was the first time I come in contact with your art was it was working the art festivals with Munson and Brothers, and just walking through to check out what everybody else saw, and like it immediately captured my eye.
Was that a Sunday fun day or?
It was not. It was the first. It was at the in Oxford.
Oh, okay.
The double decker
yeah. was the first, and I gave you a shout out that day as you walked by ours. Like, hey, Joe, man, saw your stuff. You know, you had one of the better places. You were more into the circle.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
And like I had been following your art for some time, and I walked by and I was like, he's here, man. That's great. And yeah. So like just to kind of talk about the festival scene, and I like how that is. I'm getting to be more a part of it with Munson and Brothers, but. Like seeing guys like y'all out there and really sharing your art. Like, what are some of the things that you hear as people are stopping in to check it out? And like,
oh, art's weird too. You know, like I've shipped art to countries. I've had art, you know, in probably 80 international shows. You know, I've had art in galleries, museums. I've given talks at colleges and universities and had shows. But these little festivals are unique. You can really connect with people,
yes,
individually, and I like it. And to be honest, it's
fun.
That's fun, and you got to do everything you can every day to push art because it's hard to make it as an artist. You know, it's super hard, so you can't stop. And festivals get you in people's minds, but we do hear a lot of stuff because our art is somewhat weird. People often ask about the drugs we do, and I don't do any drugs, you know. Yeah. So it's like I am a drug. I don't need them.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. I don't know.
Get all kinds of different reactions, which is part of the fun too. I think for going to some of the festivals.
Yeah.
We get good. We get some positive reaction.
Yeah. We had people come over and we're like, oh yeah, this we love this stuff. We want you guys to come. You know, this is some of our favorite stuff. A lot of college students really like gravitate towards it.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
But then on the other end of the spectrum, we've had kids come in and really like it, and their parent grab them and take them away. Don't look at that.
Turn away.
We've had, you know, so some people, you know, and it's that I think for me, the conversation is the biggest part of a festival. Sometimes we make some money. We always make a little, but it's not about the money as much as the dialogue with people and opening up their minds. I think, you know, that's what I like.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work to do a festival, but we do it for you. And also, we're in Mississippi, you know, we're chock full of musicians, artists, writers, but there's always seemed to be a lack of opportunities for those people here to really make a living. So we looked at that a few years ago, and we tried to make some changes by putting on our own festivals and art walks, and like Sunday Fun Day was a big part of putting that on. And
let's spend some time there, man, because that's something special for this Golden Triangle area, the Sunday Fun Day. And I mean, it happens during the summer, and not only is it a good place for a musician who's wanting to break out and play out for public, it's also a great way for an artist to display their art. And so that happens from it kicks off in
May, and then once a month through October. This will be our fourth year, Sunday Funday, and there were several of us the first year, four years ago. Blair Edwards was a big ringleader in coming up with the idea, and I was on board early on. And the last 2 years, it was kind of it needed some direction, so I really took it over, and I formed a board, and I had some ideas that I wanted to push hard. I wanted musicians to get paid. I wanted artists to not pay for their booths, and I wanted kids' art activities. I wanted for everybody to come out, diversity of people, young, old, different cultures, different races, different anything, and have something for them. But at the same time, I wanted vendors to be making their own product. I didn't want to, you know, bring in stores. And that's just not what it is, and nothing against that. But
it's an opportunity for artists.
That's right. So the first thing was to go out and find money from grants and or various sponsors. So we found some good sponsors, and we were able to, you know, I think pay our musicians something, our sound guy something, and none of our artists had to pay a fee, and everybody made a little money. It grew each time, made some good connections with the local media and regional media.
Sure.
But I was the director and for 2 years, and Joseph was on the board as well, and several others. And then after 2 years, this past year, I stepped off the board and brought in another person. And the idea is I don't want to be the only person in charge of an event like that. It needs to be community driven, so we need to bring in and rotate, or otherwise it won't last.
Right.
So we got a new board. There's some rollover. I've been involved 3 years, so this year it's time to step out. one of the camps of the Cotton District is this director, and we got a great new guy in charge of art, and I'm sure it'll be great and maybe go slightly different, but it's actually turning into a community thing, and that's what you want.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I remember like some of the guys that I've had on the show in the past, just local out of Columbus, like Shane Tubbs mm-hmm. and some of those cats, mm-hmm. and like it was always just it was a good deal for Columbus folks to go out to Starkville. Like, you don't have to be from Starkville to enjoy these Sundays, you know.
Well, it's that Sunday is a weird time. There's not a lot going on, and it's, sometimes it was very hot or whatever, but it was still fun.
Yeah,
and it gave opportunity for artists and musicians, maybe especially, to be heard and seen by people that wouldn't have seen them otherwise. You know, a lot of not everybody goes can go to a bar at night, or so. And there's not even that many venues in this area, to
right.
be honest.
Right.
So it was really good, and we got some exposure to people. We tried to get them if they were there on the some of them were on TV. We had the news there, WCBI, TVA. We had newspaper and radio coverage. So that was good. We got them. I hope it helped some people.
Yeah, I think it's a plug. And like this past year, I know it raised a lot more heat than it had in the past, because I've just recently been back in this area for a little over 2 years now, and the first year I was back, Sunday Funday completely passed me over. But this time around, it was really well played. To where like it had a lot of attention.
And Sunday Funday, you know, is one event. You know, we've been involved with helping out with other things, setting up art walks and Starkville and other places, and you know, live painting at Rick's, or yeah. you know, pop up shows. Various businesses, we just go in and ask people, hey, can we do something?
Yeah.
You know how many times they say no? Just about never.
It's rarely. Yeah.
yeah.
It's
so rare. And that's growing, and we have good support here locally. we help out with other festivals and Meridian, yeah, yeah. And it's growing. People are coming to us in Starkville now and asking us, hey, how do you do this? Can you help us?
Yeah.
And we're seeing the networking, the spider webbing of all these activities throughout the state, and we've created a base. A database almost of artists and musicians from the Golden Triangle now. So if you go to another event in the region, you're starting to see some of us going there, all these people, yeah. and all of a sudden that event is better
right.
because of what we're doing here. That's yeah. cool.
And that definitely is. And to be a part of those groups on the Facebook, like you're talking about, with those groups, it's mm-hmm. like just to see it grow, and you're starting to see a lot of people start coming out about their art.
Yeah, we've seen it grow pretty exponentially in the last like 4 years, just opportunities for artists that didn't exist 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And without having a gallery to show their art in.
Yeah.
So, and the galleries are great, but there's a lot of overhead, they take a lot of commission, and it's hard for artists, they're scared to show their work, and musicians likewise, sometimes
yeah,
a little hesitant
to play.
These events
have been big for like college students and high school students that are getting into art or homemade crafts or music, like Sunday Funday.
Yeah, so it's just whatever that looks like for them. And as guys, as we're getting geared up for festival season, it won't be long. You got mm-hmm. the Railroad Fest coming up in Amory, and it won't be long. We'll be looking at the Columbus downtown.
The double decker's
coming up.
Yeah. We have several right away. We'll be doing probably the one in Starkville associated with Pride. It's called the Queer Art Market, you know, and that's
right.
a fun one. And the next week we'll be in Hattiesburg at Hub Fest, and
yeah.
then we'll be in Meridian, 3 foot. We'll be at Starkville's Cotton District, and
yeah,
we'll
right
be double decker.
Weeks in a row, yeah.
You know, bam, 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 and it's a busy time.
Yeah, I really like festival season. Like we were just talking it over with Monson, getting ready for the festival season and taking the Westphalia out for these shows. And
mm-hmm.
like you start seeing the dates, and it's like we're gonna be busy, boys.
Yeah, those couple months, it's like everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. Then Sunday Funday, and then
Sunday Funday starts up about that time too.
Well, We do really enjoy helping out and making these things happen, because I felt like there was just a lack of opportunities here. And when Joseph, out of high school, he went to the Savannah College of Art for a while, and then he moved back here, and we talked about ways to make money and show our art. And that's when we started actively promoting and starting our own art walks and pushing
yeah.
art events.
Yeah.
And I got involved with the community arts public places and that sort of thing. So all that's important, but we also want to do things here in Sesames. We call this the McGowan Art Studio, and it's on Google, McGowan Art Studio.
Yeah.
You know? And we want to have little events out here. We've had some. We've toyed around. But the goal is to do a lot more, have workshops, painting workshops, maybe ceramic, to show art. And, you know, bring people out and do things together. And we've done some of that, but we want to do a lot more. And I'm retiring from MSU this summer.
Okay.
So I've been there a long time, and I'm ready to really push the art a little harder.
Yeah, man. And so just definitely looking forward to that. I mean, I like the setup. I appreciated the tour, you know, and just getting around, and especially the two big pieces you have there in the living room, and seeing everything that you have here. It's not just art. You got music, and you step outside, and it's like I feel like I could sit out on that porch and write a song or draw a picture for easy. You know, it wouldn't take anything.
Music and literature and art, it's all very similar. Like I know I write at work. I primarily write scientific papers and web articles, and when Joseph writes music, I mean, he does his own songs. It's like a process. How does that work? It's all tied to the art, to the music, to the...
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a similar approach there. Typically, it's kind of the same idea with art, with improvising. Yeah.
You could have a song that's about a painting, you know, and then you record it
on your guitar, apparently.
And then when you record it, you can, you know, he's recorded things, and then he would do a little CD cover of his art, and it's all like,
well, and
this
then online
crazy.
You know, there's often a little image associated with the song, so you can have fun with like this interplay of art and music and writing.
Yeah, it's all full circle for you.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Well, guys, getting ready to just walk this thing on out the door. Anything else to add or subtract? Anything else to say about the studio here, or just anything else that you want word out about?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, for me, I mean, I'm just really glad that I have a place where I can do art. It wasn't always that way. Sometimes it was in a little corner somewhere, and I found a place in Sesame's quite a while ago, and it was sort of a cheap piece of land, and done a lot of work to turn it into something, and just continuously and just being steady with things. And you know, there's no excuses. You know, we all have excuses, but if you want to do something, you know, I found, just do it. You know, it's choices, really. I could choose to sleep more, or I could watch TV. If I'm watching TV or a movie, I could be doing art at the same time, or fiddling with a guitar. You know, you got to find time to do the things that are important to who you are. And if you don't, you're going to regret it. Sometimes it's hard, you know, in other aspects of life. But I'm personally driven to do art. I don't even think about it. I just got to do it. If I don't do it, I'm kind of going to be annoying the next day. You know, if you're a musician, you might relate to that. I don't know. But, I mean, don't you feel better when you're walking around playing the guitar, singing, or drawing, or painting?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I got to have that time. You know, whether it happens at the beginning of the day or at the end, I need that time. It's like how I unwind.
That's right. Yeah. And even a few minutes a day is okay.
Yeah.
If I can just get in a few minutes to an hour, I'm good. I mean, I could take longer, but... And also, art isn't just about painting or drawing for me. It's about, like, planting something, planting some trees or bushes or... You know, there's a lot of aspects to art. Designing
landscape.
A pavilion, yeah. And yeah. Thinking about how we're going to tie it into the bigger picture, you know, and how that'll influence other types of art later, you know.
Absolutely. I know with just my interactions throughout the day, whether, you know, my job in Starkville, and a lot of times I'm out on the road interacting with the public and talking to them about problems that they have or whatever that looks like. And or maybe it's just with a conversation that I'm having here on the podcast or with a friend, but... those conversations are inspiring things, and like it's good to be able to have a phone or a notepad that I keep in that bag. You know, I can jot that down, so when I get back home and get around a guitar, I'm like, okay, let's flesh this idea out.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, you know? That's right. You never know where your inspiration is going to come from. That's a question you get often when you're creative.
More from everywhere, I guess.
I mean, my inspiration is everywhere. I mean, I don't want to have a... It's only from this. My inspiration is less from other artists than it is from everything else. You know, I don't want to emulate another artist.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's been done, right?
I mean, my art history knowledge is really not very good at all, and that's fine. I do appreciate other art, but I don't want to be that guy. I want to do my own thing.
Sure.
And let things drive it. Otherwise.
Well, Joseph, anything else to add or subtract to that?
I don't know. I think that's about it.
You can look at Joseph at any given day and know that he's into something.
Into something.
It won't be hard for far to tell, huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, all right, guys, we'll walk this thing out the door. Well, I really appreciate y'all taking the time. Thanks for inviting me out to be here with you today.
Oh, yeah. It's great thanks to be for out coming here out.
McGowan yeah. Studio.
Yeah, right? Having people look around.
News and notes. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Hey, I got some shirts over at MonsonBrothers.com. Just look for the Porch Talk tab. If you're on your phone, type in MonsonBrothers.com and you'll scroll down. You'll see me at the bottom right. You can check everything out that we have there. Rate and review the show if you haven't done so already. Joe and Joseph, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me. And guys, show them some love. If you see them out at these festivals or at a Sunday Funday, stop by, hang out, and buy some art. Support the guys. Support the arts. Hey, we're going to walk this thing on out the door with one of my favorite questions. How about a murder ballad? This is Cecilia by the Mulligan Brothers. Peace out.
In the south of Alabama, near the Gulf of Mexico, on the banks of old Tom Beebe, walks an old, lost, forgotten soul. He was once a man of virtue, sadly said, Cecilia, I won't let them hurt you. I'll set you free, oh, I'll set you free. 'Cause my love for you is stronger than these plantation walls. It howls at the moon at night. It don't know about the law, and it is at your beck and call. I'll set you free. Cecilia, don't you cry, bye bye. Cecilia, don't you cry. Bleed, bleed. No sooner than as he heard Cecilia's cries fading away. In the south of Alabama, near the Gulf of Mexico, on the banks of old Tom Bigby, walks an old, lost, forgotten soul. From those murky, shallow waters to the Caribbean Sea, you can hear him cry, Cecilia, come set me free, oh, come set me free, Cecilia. Set me free, come set me free, Cecilia, please come set me free.
Save on O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner. Get two cans of O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner for just $8. Valid in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts.